Hi, everybody. Welcome again to the latest edition of the Gary Neville podcast. Gary and I were speaking a week or so ago after Liverpool played Manchester United, where Liverpool got something from the game, battled hard. Today, here at Wembley, we've watched them be out-thought, out-fought, and individual mistakes have cost them dear. Spurs have romped home 4-1.
Yeah, and I think I was actually talking to Jamie Carragher about this on Friday about Liverpool. I thought they would come here today and put in a really good performance, but if they didn't, and they started to get to a point where they were going to lose this game, you then start to maybe look back to that game last week where they didn't take the chances at the end in terms of, you know, they were like-for-like substitutions, they were a little bit pragmatic, they did want to seem to not take the ultimate chance in bringing on more attacking players, and all of a sudden now you're thinking 1 point from six and a little bit of doom and gloom. Maybe that's not fair, but that's how it will be portrayed. And today, it really surprised me, I have to say, that I thought there would be really strong alertness in the team. I thought that they would be, particularly after keeping two clean sheets, or the clean sheet last week and obviously the fantastic win in midweek, I have to say, the individual mistakes on those first two goals, it revolved around Dejan Lovren, destroyed them really.
So early.
And so, I mean, they were set. That throw-in, I was actually about to comment and come in as the throw-in was taken, saying, look how many Liverpool players are over towards the side of the ball, almost perfection. You couldn't see space. But then for some reason he decided to play offside from a throw-in, from what would be just a pull back to a right-back who just sort of chips it forward. Many times I've done it myself, not thinking for any stretch, not thinking for any moment you're going to play someone in. You're just playing for territory, you're playing to sort of get the ball forward, get yourself out of a bit of trouble. And I have to say, I don't think the goalkeeper particularly covered himself in glory on the first goal either. And it's too much now. It's too much now for this Liverpool team. 4 or 5 years. I think they must have conceded 250 goals in five seasons in the Premier League.
They've actually become the sixth club ever to concede 1,000 in the Premier League. Of course, they've been ever present.
Yes. And,
but it's tallied up. And today, people will be saying it's the same old, same old. And why isn't anything being done about it? Well, of course, if you don't get your number one centre-back target, there didn't seem to be a number two or a number three for them.
No, but the ultimate for Liverpool is to win the Premier League. And I think a couple of times in the last 5 years, particularly that one season under Brendan Rodgers, they should have won it if they defended half properly. You know, conceded 35 goals, 40 goals. They conceded 50. And we saw the graphic come up in this game today in the second half of them being the team that's conceded the most goals away from home in the Premier League. That's wrong. It's wrong in all senses because it tells you that they crumble away from home when they come under pressure. I know they had that 5 at City and the 4 here today, but they do crumble when they come under big pressure. Away from home is a lot more difficult than at home. Anfield is a fortress. And I don't know where to go with it. I haven't got any more words to say. It's almost like Arsenal sometimes when you keep seeing the same thing season after season. We're getting to that now with Liverpool in the sense that
Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Same mistakes. You don't mind the fact that individual players make mistakes, but when it's the same players making the same mistakes in the different seasons, you think something's got to change. And Liverpool have got a very good side. They've got a very good side. They've been probably one of the best teams to watch for us in this last 2 or 3 years. And I'm saying that as a neutral in the sense that obviously, you know, I look at all the Premier League teams, their energy, their enthusiasm, and today they look like a sad team. The first time I've seen them under Jurgen Klopp where I thought they were like a sad team.
When they got back to 2-1 and Mo Salah's chipped in again, hasn't he? He's been a very good signing for them. And I know it's early days in his Liverpool career, but for his goals, it would be a pretty pickle, really. He's done very well. And at 2-1, half-time approaching, you could see on the Liverpool players' faces when that Dele Alli goal went in stoppage time. So 2-1 became a 3-1 half-time team talk. They had nothing left. Really.
No, it was a killer. It was an absolute killer. And I was trying to make the point on commentary. It was just before half-time, and sometimes when you're in a studio, you can make the point a little more clearly. But we were talking about it at half-time. Tottenham didn't send their centre-backs up, so it didn't need Henderson and Milner to go and sink back into the back four, which vacated the edge of the box when the ball was headed out by Matip. And that's about players thinking on the feet. It's about them taking control of a situation and understanding that actually they didn't need to go back in there. I know in the dressing room wall it will say when Tottenham get a free kick and Eriksen's on it, you'll all go back in and this is the shape you'll be in. But you then have to adapt to circumstances. And the fact that seven players went back into a line, and Matic, it wasn't a particularly great header. There were no midfield players at the edge of the box. There was nobody to pick up that second ball, and you mentioned it, that Dele Alli anticipated, he read the situation. A little bit scruffy the finish, but those ones do go in. No blame for Mignolet on that goal at all in terms of his being able to save it, because it was right in the corner and it was a killer. It was a killer moment, and Liverpool were having their best period in that last 15 minutes of the first half.
And the second half then, with an early-ish goal in the second half as well, it became just match management for Spurs, really.
Yeah, but even at half-time, I think this Liverpool team's capable of getting back into that game. And actually, I think this Tottenham team are capable of getting very nervous here. Mm. So actually, get that second goal, get the first goal in the second half, and you're in this game, and you can even win it. That's the type of situation you can be in, particularly with Liverpool players, Sturridge to come on as well. But the goalkeeper comes out and flaps at one. And we can point towards the fact that, oh, it's great delivery and all the rest of it, but every team's got great delivery. Every match, there's great delivery. And it's not a personal attack on any of those centre-backs or goalkeeper for Liverpool, but I've been saying it for 3 or 4 years. I'm watching them make the same mistakes. And is it harsh? And I have to sit here having made mistakes myself, but if we conceded 50 goals, 55 goals a season, every single season for Manchester United, then there would have been heads rolling. If I made repetitive mistakes continuously, then heads would roll. The fact of the matter is, you did make mistakes, of course you did, but actually you didn't make as many mistakes. You made fewer mistakes than most, and that's the thing as a defender. You will make mistakes, you will give goals away, you will be disappointed with yourself. But these lads here, they make too many mistakes, and you need a great goalkeeper to win the league. I genuinely believe that. You need a great goalkeeper. And Liverpool can't win a league with that defence. They can't. It's impossible. And that's got to be where Liverpool have got to try and get to. And we could say, OK, Manchester City have spent more money, United have spent more money, and Chelsea have spent money. I get that. It's tough to win a league. But in this last 5 years, there have been a couple of times they could have won a championship. They could have won a Premier League title. And it's the defending that's cost them. And Liverpool Football Club needs to win a Premier League title. That's what its history has been set upon.
We're a quarter of the way only in the season. Can Tottenham win a league?
I don't think they can, and in some ways it's probably the wrong thing to say, and it's not through actually lack of want in terms of, obviously I'm a Manchester United fan, but actually if Manchester United didn't win the league, you know, you'd like it for Arsene Wenger a little bit, but I don't think that's going to happen. They're not good enough. But the job that Maurizio Pochettino is doing here and the team that he has, they're fantastic. It's brilliant. It's everything that Tottenham haven't been during my football career. Good to watch, resilient, robust, defend well, got a great balance, win the ball up the pitch, young players, young English players as well, which is always a bonus. He has belief in young players. When you see Harry Winks out there today, it's fantastic. And it was fantastic what I saw him do in the Bernabeu, what we saw him do in the Bernabeu earlier on in the week. Everything's right. Everything's right. Going into a new stadium, brilliant team, brilliant coach, all look like they love playing with each other. Connection between fans. I can't speak highly enough of what Maurizio Pochettino has done, what Tottenham's done. And we've been quick enough over the years to have a go at Daniel Levy. We've been quick enough over the years to say he's interfering. We've been quick enough over the years to suggest that the boardroom here has made big mistakes. However, we never really offer the praise when something's going right. They're going into a brand new stadium, which will be out of this world. He's got a fantastic manager. They've got a great youth setup, and now the youth players are being given that. And people will say, well, what's that got to do with Daniel Levy? Well, all of a sudden, it can't have it both ways. So you'd have to give credit all the way through the club. And this idea that he doesn't pay well, maybe he's running his club in a sustainable way as well. Maybe that's an achievement in this day and age where obviously players' wages are rising and agents' influence is rising. So, look, there's a lot of good things going on. Biggest Premier League crowd in history today, 80,000. Tottenham were helped. They were helped today. I don't think their first two goals were down to brilliant play, but they took their moments. Once the mistakes were made, they were clinical. The pass from Kane to Son was fantastic. The touch, I hadn't quite noticed it till the lads showed me at half time on the first goal. Kane's little touch over the goalkeeper was brilliant. And no, I hope they can win a league because they play well enough to do that. But I think in the end it'll be too much for them. And That's my honest opinion.
Well, they're level on points now with Manchester United, and you must have your say on what happened at Huddersfield. First time in, what, some 65 years that Huddersfield have beaten Manchester United in the league game. And again, on the back of Crystal Palace beating Chelsea the weekend before, showing the what the Premier League is still all about.
Well, I was at the Spurs-Huddersfield game a few weeks ago when Spurs tore them to shreds and thought it would be tough for United because the atmosphere is big, but thought they would come through it, and was actually in London yesterday because I've been down for the West Ham game, so I didn't see the game live, but was stunned by the result, and stunned also by Jose Mourinho's comments after about the application of the players and saying that it was the worst he's seen them up for a game. I'm really surprised, and it's a bad loss for United. It is a bad loss. And one thing I would say is now next Saturday it becomes a huge game for Manchester United to get back on the bike after falling off, and they're playing against a team, a Tottenham team, that have got great confidence. The one thing I would say is that probably the worst I've seen Maurizio Pochettino's team in this last two or three years probably was at Old Trafford last season. So it'll be interesting to see now, having gone to the Bernabeu, they've definitely changed their fortunes around here at Wembley and had a great win today. Can they now go up to play? Because if Tottenham play anything like next Saturday, Manchester United will have to be at the best. They'll have to be at the best. They won't be below. They can't be below that. So, yeah, big shock for me yesterday. Bad goals to give away. Lindelof made a couple of poor errors. Talked about Lovren today. If your defenders and your centre-backs make poor mistakes, it's very difficult. And there were times at Manchester United in my career where we had those moments where, you know, you weren't giving yourself a chance. You don't give yourself a chance if you give bad goals away. I think if a team does something spectacular, you can recover for it. But mentally, when your goalkeeper's making mistakes, your centre-backs are making mistakes, the anxiety runs not just through the team, but also into the crowd. And if you're away from home, the opposing crowd get up off every time there is a defensive moment. So you have to cut those things out. And Manchester United, to be fair, have been good defensively. So yesterday was a little bit out of character. So I'm looking forward to next Saturday. I'm sure you are as well, because it'll be a big game, and actually a big game for both clubs.
A final thought, we have to mention Manchester City. We rightly should mention Manchester City, because they continue to play the beautiful football and they continue to set a scorching pace at the top of the Premier League.
Absolutely outstanding football. I mentioned in my second half of commentary, I think the best performance I've seen this season was theirs away at Manchester's away at Chelsea. It was fantastic because it combined both attack and defence. You know, you play away from home at Stamford Bridge, it's a tough place to go. There are times when you think of Manchester City as their weakness, their defence, but when you see them in that big game at Chelsea, you think, ooh, that's a proper performance. That's a real performance. And I said at the end of last season, there's a completely different style between Manchester United and Manchester City in terms of the how they play. And I've always seen in this league power and strength and maturity and shrewdness come through. Whereas pure football is very rarely won. You think of Arsenal teams over the last 10 years, 12 years. You think of Liverpool in the last 5 or 6 years, where going forward they've been stunning, but actually haven't been able to combine both. And I think this would be a real big shift if Pep Guardiola could take this Manchester City team. When you think of it with De Bruyne and Silva in central midfield alongside Fernandinho, and you think of Sané, Sterling, Jesus, Aguero, all those diminutive players, it would be a shift. And that's the fascinating thing as we go towards the end of the season, is that historically power has always come through in that sort of spine of strength, and it's what's won the league for City, I think, over the last few years. You know, think of Hart, Kompany, Yaya Toure and Aguero up top. But this year they look outstanding. It's a brilliant, brilliant football team. To watch is wonderful. And it'll be great to see the games we've got over the next 2 or 3 months that are really big games, to see how they play against each other. Manchester United, City, Tottenham, Arsenal, City. All these games are coming up, and it's fantastic.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.